The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Judeans, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. But this everyone will know, that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Into the multitudes he goes. Our universe, according to science, 13.8 billion years old. Our planet, again, according to science, 4.5 to 6 billion years old. Our race, about 200,000 years old. Our civilization, roughly 6 to 8,000 years old. Our average life expectancy in the United States, about 79 years old. And the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, about 1 to 3 years old before he was executed by the Roman Empire. 1 to 3 years. Remarkable, isn't it? Jesus Christ, the most influential human being ever to walk the earth. A man who wrote nothing. A man who taught almost entirely in sometimes confusing and enigmatic parables. A man whose closest followers, as you heard in our gospel story today, betrayed him. A man who was barely 30 when he died. Jesus Christ, a ministry of 1 to 3 years. What was it that made him so remarkable, so significant, that in such an unremarkably short time, dwarfed by the numbers I gave you, he could make such a difference? So much so that his earliest followers would die for him in scores, in hundreds, possibly even thousands. So much so that we, along with millions of other Christians, gather this evening, tomorrow, this Sunday, and throughout the rest of the year to remember him, to proclaim his kingdom, even to worship him. What makes him so special? What makes him so special? Was it his miracles? The Gospels themselves record about 35 of them, at least miracles of healing. Yet Jesus berates those who seem to miss the point of his life and ministry by focusing on the miracles. Only a wicked and adulterous generation, he says in the Gospel of Matthew, asks for a sign. And Jesus is not the only one who can perform such signs. False messiahs and false prophets also have this capacity, as Jesus himself says in Matthew 24:24. So, if not the miracles, what else could it be that makes Jesus so special, so significant, so distinct? Could it be his death at the hands of an oppressive state, his brutal torture and crucifixion? Obviously, Jesus was not alone in that regard. The Gospels tell us he was crucified between two thieves. And historians tell us that thousands more criminals were publicly executed by the Romans in the same fashion, including runaway slaves. Of course, some of Jesus' followers came to regard his death as a sacrifice. Hebrews 9, for example, casts it as a perfect sacrifice, one capable of removing the blot of sin, quote, once for all. Yet, and I want you to hear this closely, not all his followers viewed his death that way. As the Gospel of Luke illustrates in chapter 24, verses 6 through 7. But even if he died as a sacrifice, even if he died as a sacrifice, what lasting influence would the cross really have without the resurrection? Had the cross been the end, Jesus would have simply been another victim, another tragedy that lines the road of civilization. I mean, would any of us gather still in his name? Would we have any cause to celebrate if death had the last word? Indeed, as Paul himself says, if there was no resurrection, then Christ, indeed our faith, is in vain. And so, it would seem, we have come to our answer. Sure, his miracles, his ministry, his message, the message of the kingdom, which we haven't covered, even his death, his murder, all of these are important. But what gives Jesus' life and brief 1 to 3 year ministry its ultimate significance was surely his resurrection from the dead. Well, wait a minute, Pastor, you might be saying to yourself. That may be true, but the resurrection is 3 or 4 days away. We're in the playoffs. We're not even at the Super Bowl yet. Aren't we getting a little ahead of ourselves? And besides, when you speak of the resurrection, what do you mean, Pastor? The disciples, after all, experienced his resurrection in a variety of ways. So wait, let's pause. Aren't we missing something? Isn't there something else significant beyond the man himself, beyond his ministry, beyond his message, beyond his miracles, beyond his murder, that we haven't covered tonight? Sure there is. Can you guess? It's the meal. The meal. Think about this. The last thing Jesus does before he dies, at least for the people who followed him, is feed them. Feed them. This is my body, he says to them, offering bread. And this is my blood, he says to them, passing the cup. We take it for granted sometimes, don't we? Jesus, alone among messiahs, gives himself to us completely in this meal. And we forget, or perhaps we never knew, that he gives himself not simply to us in this context, but in his context to people quite unlike us, to the hungry poor, to people, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:22, the verse just before our second reading began, to people, Paul says, who have nothing, which is to say, listen to these statistics, roughly 68 to 99% of the population of the Roman Empire at the time who were materially poor. People living near subsistence level, people whose primary concern was to obtain the minimal food and shelter necessary to sustain life, whose lives were dominated by the struggle for physical survival. This is also his significance. The Messiah, the Savior, comes and we kill him, but not before he feeds us, not before he extends to each of us a final act of hospitality and goodwill, transforming himself days before his resurrection into the bread and wine, meeting us right here, right now, across centuries, across time, in Holy Communion. 1 to 3 years. It's remarkable, isn't it? Jesus Christ, the only Messiah who truly fed both the spiritually and the physically poor. Jesus Christ, the one who feeds us still today when we receive the offering of his body and blood, the bread and the wine. This, dear friends, is the greatest privilege of my ministry among you, to distribute the bread and wine for Holy Communion at worship. And when I receive it, I carry him with me through each chapter of my life, from my boyhood to my college experience to my early working years to my career as a professor and to my time with you now as pastor. Holy Communion has been a thread that runs through all of these, and I trust will continue to run through all of these right up to my last breath. You see, it's not just his message, his miracles. It's the meal where Christ continually gives himself to you and where nothing can finally separate you from him. This, beyond ministry and miracles, even the man, is the significance of Jesus Christ. It's all in the meal where God promises always to meet you and me to the end of our days. Amen.